Now we're very encouraged by your presence another time, and we look to the Lord for that blessing He alone can give. You know the meetings continue each evening right up until Friday in the goodwill of God at 7:30. Throughout the day, do remember us in prayer that God will enable us to understand His Word and to have that liberty He alone can give in the ministry. Now tonight we're going to read from the book of Numbers and chapter 8. The book of Numbers and chapter 8. Verse 1 to verse 4 brings before us the ministry of the priests that we spoke about last night, who also were consecrated to the service of God. But now from verse 5, we shall read relative to the consecration of the Levites. Verse 5. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the Levites from among the children of Israel, and cleanse them, and thus shalt thou do unto them to cleanse them, sprinkle water of purifying upon them, and let them shave all their flesh, and let them wash their clothes, and so make themselves clean. Then let them take a young bullock with his meal offering, of fine flour mingled with oil, and another young bullock shalt thou take for a sin offering. And thou shalt bring the Levites before the tabernacle of the congregation, and thou shalt gather the whole assembly of the children of Israel together. And thou shalt bring the Levites before the Lord, and the children of Israel shall lay their hands upon the Levites. And Aaron shall offer the Levites before the Lord an offering of the children of Israel, that they may execute the service of the Lord. And the Levites shall lay their hands upon the heads of the bullocks, and thou shalt offer the one for a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering unto the Lord, to make atonement for the Levites. And thou shalt set the Levites before Aaron and before his sons, and offer them for an offering unto the Lord. Thus shalt thou separate. That's a very strong word on the subject of consecration. Thus shalt thou separate the Levites from among the children of Israel, and the Levites shall be mine. And after that shall the Levites go in to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. And thou shalt cleanse them, and offer them an offering for an offering, for they are wholly given unto me from among the children of Israel, instead of such as open every womb, even instead of the firstborn of all the children of Israel, have I taken them unto me. For all the firstborn of the children of Israel are mine, both man and beast. On the day that I smote every firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified them for myself. And I have taken the Levites, now the advice is, instead of all the firstborn of the children of Israel. And I have given the Levites as a gift to Aaron and to his sons from among the children of Israel to do the service of the children of Israel in the tabernacle of the congregation, and to make an atonement for the children of Israel, that there be no plague among the children of Israel when the children of Israel come nigh unto the sanctuary. And Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel did to the Levites according unto all that the Lord commanded Moses concerning the Levites, so did the children of Israel unto them. And the Levites were purified, And they washed their clothes, and Aaron offered them as an offering before the Lord, and Aaron made an atonement for them to cleanse them. And after that went the Levites in to do their service in the tabernacle of the congregation before Aaron and before his sons. As the Lord had commanded Moses concerning the Levites, so did they unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, This is that belongeth unto the Levites, from 25 years old and upward, they shall go in to wait upon the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. And from the age of 50 years shall they shall cease waiting upon the service thereof, and shall serve no more, but shall minister with their brethren in the tabernacle of the congregation to keep the charge, and shall do no service. Thus shalt thou do unto the Levites, touching their charge. Now we do trust the Lord will give us the blessing that he gives in the reading of his holy word. Now we have come to a very precious and to me an exceedingly practical passage. Remember on Lord's Day we looked at the consecration of the Nazarite. Last night we looked at the consecration of the priests. Now we're going to consider the consecration of the Levites. If you are aware, and I'm sure all are, you go back to the book of Genesis and chapter 49, where Jacob, the father of Levi, is speaking to each of his sons. But when it comes to Levi, he's linked with Simeon, the only time the two are linked together in that chapter. And as you know, Jacob is not at all impressed by their behavior, for he refers to their cruelty, to their cruelty. Because you go back to Genesis 35, you will read what they did in defense of their sister Dinah. Well, whatever they must have felt, they were doing what was right. But even their father was not impressed with their actions. And so, I want you to think of the Levites and their cruelty. I would say it's indicative of what marked us before we were reached by grace divine. But the Lord only knows what we might have done. And the Lord only knows what we did do. In defiance of his word, in disobedience to his command, we were marked by cruelty. And indeed, when you look at Romans chapter 3, and look at the words that Paul uses to describe our condition, you'll find that you and I could just place ourselves tonight in the Levitical position in those days of what I'm going to call their natural cruelty. But there's a lovely chapter, as you know, in Exodus chapter 32. And you remember what happened in that chapter when Aaron got occupied, or misoccupied, should I say, with things that were not in keeping with the mind of God at all. But the challenge went out. Who is on the Lord's side? Remember that lovely chapter. Who is on the Lord's side? I know it's a wonderful thing to think that the first company to respond to that challenge and to that call was indeed the Levites. They responded. So if you don't mind, I'm going to call that their conversion. Their cruelty, and then their conversion. That's a lovely chapter indeed. It's good just to read and to see how they were responsive to the call at that time. Now, when we come to the book of Numbers and chapter 3, we have a mighty chapter on the Levites. It would be worthwhile going to there tonight, but if we did, we wouldn't reach chapter 8 at all. You go to chapter 3, you'll find that the Levites were chosen of God for divine service. Wonderful. I think it's a wonderful chapter just to read, and many a time I've ministered from it when dealing with the whole book of Numbers as an introduction to the book. And then you come to chapter 4. Not only were they chosen, but we're thankful to God that they were given a tremendous charge in responsibility. You know the Levites are divided into three, and you will know that the sons of Korah were those that carried those vessels in the trip, in their journey through the wilderness. And the others did exactly what God gave them responsibility to do. That's a wonderful chapter as well. But we wouldn't have time to look at that at this moment. So now, their cruelty, their conversion, their choice, and now their charge. But it's chapter 8, from verse number 5 right to the end, that we have their consecration. Their consecration. Because, you know, they were very responsible, weren't they? In the journey and in the functions of the tabernacle, they had tremendous privilege and they had tremendous scope. And so I would feel there was a great need to bring these Levites into the consciousness of their privilege by this act of consecration. How do you feel? You think of the days when we were not saved. You think of the grace that brought us savingly to Christ. You think of God's intention. You think of God's interest. I'm asking my soul, to what extent have I responded? Possibly, I'm not doing it as I ought. Well, it could be that I would need to read this chapter over and over again. Just to realize that these people who were brought into such a privilege had to be consecrated. And that's the sense of that word in verse 14. Thus shalt thou separate the Levites from among the children of Israel. Very decisive, very determining, and essentially divine. Now with that introduction, let us come please to verse 6. And I'm going to section the passage from verse 6 to 14. We have what I'm going to call the meaning of consecration. The meaning of consecration as far as these dear people were concerned. Verse 6. Take the Levites from among the children of Israel and cleanse them. Cleanse them. And thus shalt thou do unto them to cleanse them. Sprinkle water of purifying, of expiation upon them. Number one. Let them shave all their flesh and let them wash their clothes and make themselves clean. Now let us ponder those three actions in relation to the meaning of consecration. The first thing, as you can see, they were to be cleansed from all defilement. Cleanse them. Twice. Verse 6. And then God tells them how to cleanse them. Now, you will understand, beloved, that this cleansing was by water. And you'll understand that that's a theme in our Bible. We look back to the moment when we were cleansed by precious blood. That brought us into a standing that none can challenge, and nothing can ever deliver us or deposit us from it. But I'm thinking now of the practical side of my life. Am I in the good of that cleansing that would prepare me for divine service constantly and consistently before God? They were cleansed, sprinkled water of purifying upon them. I would say, beloved, if I want to reach this, and I'm sure you want to reach it, your very presence, your attitude indicates that. Well, how's it going to be? To me, it is by your constant and unchanged attitude, acceptance, and what else could I say of the Word of God? Now, I'm asking my soul, do I do that? Is there anything in my life that the Word of God condemns that I'm not anxious to dispose of? Is there something in my life that when I read my Bible, I find I'm wrong? I find that I'm not moving in the will of God. Well, then what must I do? I must dispense with it. After all, if you were working outside in any place and your hands become dirty, your face or whatever, what do? You go to the bathroom and the washroom and you wash, for you want to appear clean, don't you? We do it all the time. It's a constant thing. And if we didn't, I don't know just what the result would be. But my concern is this, beloved, are we in the same scope, are we in the same strength of exercise when it comes to spiritual cleansing? The cleansing by the washing of the Word. Now, we had that last night again, didn't we, in John 13? And we remember, don't we, that Peter resisted. I shall not wash my feet. And you know as well as you're sitting before me tonight that it wasn't very long until it was evident Peter's feet were out of the path of the will of God. The Lord knew it. The Lord knew in a short time Peter would be wandering off. And so, beloved, I'm concerned about this in my soul. Am I responsive to the Word of God? I need cleansing. I need it every moment of every day, lest my feet, my path, leads me into uncleanness. What's next? And let them shave themselves. Well, I'm putting it this way. Cleansing from the defilement of sin. The shaving is indicative of cleansing from the dominion of sin. The dominion of sin. What's next? And let them wash their clothes. Let them wash their clothes. I think you understand the message of the clothes, don't you? When you dress, and as you dress, you're manifesting what I'm going to call your very deportment. And while the dress may be different to mine and yours or whatever it may be, somehow or another something very distinctive, isn't there, about our dress. So here are three things. They're cleansed from the defilement of sin. They're cleansed from the dominion of sin. And they're cleansed from the deportment of sin for divine service. Now what's next? First of all, purification. Then verse 9. Then let them take a young bullock and its meal offering, even fine flour mingled with oil, and another young bullock shalt thou take for a sin offering. Here's the point of sacrifice. The point of sacrifice. And the one shows their acceptance, the other will show their appreciation, and the great need for atonement, for a sin offering. In other words, beloved, you will have noticed on Lord's Day afternoon, and last night, and here again tonight, our action in consecration is always related to our appreciation of the sacrifice of Christ. There's nothing that I can do for God. There's no way in which I can improve, if I use that word, my condition, my service, what I am, apart from an understanding of what it meant to my blessed Lord Jesus and yours to take our place at Calvary and pay such a price for our redemption. And here are these men, this great family of the Levites, that are going to be brought into divine service for God. We're brought into tremendous consciousness and application of the sacrifice. I think that's mighty, isn't it? Their purification, the sacrifice. Verse 9. And thou shalt present them, or thou shalt present the Levites before the tabernacle of the congregation. And thou shalt gather the whole assembly of the children of Israel together. What's this? Well, first of all, purification. Secondly, sacrifice. Now here is a public witness. A public witness. The whole of Israel are going to gather at the door of the tabernacle. And those Levites are going to be brought before their eyes. And they're going to look at them as a company consecrated, as a company appointed to function for God in service. That's tremendous, isn't it? When you were received into this assembly, when I was received into God's assembly when I was 14, way back in 1939, the whole company of God's people looked at me. And they looked at you. What did they expect? They expected that you and I and each of us have accepted the terms, the truth, the teaching of what's involved in the assembly of God. Now here it is in the tabernacle. The whole of these Levites coming into service for God are now witnessed by the whole of Israel. So if anyone met them down the street, there's one of our servants there. What do you think if this person or that person was in a place where they ought not to be? And you know, beloved, that's a very practical thing, isn't it? This assembly here is governed by divine principles. And the moment you're received, that moment, every eye is upon you. You were found somewhere where you ought not to be. I tell you, you're in great difficulty. So in order to bring this company of God's people that are going to step into divine service, there has to be this witness, this public manifestation of their devotedness and of those that God has chosen to serve Him in the sanctuary. What a privilege. What a tremendous issue. Now, verse 10. What happens? Well, and thou shalt present the Levites before the Lord. Before the Lord. You see, in verse 9, they're before the tabernacle of the congregation. And thou shalt gather the whole assembly of the children of Israel together. But now, it's a step further, isn't it? And thou shalt bring the Levites before the Lord. Oh, brethren, I do trust I do trust you and I recognize this tremendous issue of identification. We're not just before the eyes of all in this assembly, or in the assembly with which you're associated. Well, that is rich, real, and rich. Well, think of it. This whole company, this particular day, is brought specifically before the Lord. So that not only is Israel looking on them, but now they're conscious they're under the very eye of Jehovah. And Jehovah never sleeps. Those eyes are never closed. And listen, brethren and sisters, the more we realize that every step we take, every word we utter, every effort we put forth in divine service, please remember this. It's before the Lord. Before the Lord. We can't avoid it. And wouldn't it be possible, or could I just estimate, how many do you think would be in this assembly had everyone accepted that? How many servants that moved out into divine service that were commended by an assembly, wherever, if only those men, those people had obeyed this, how many would there be today? You understand that here's something we seem to forget. It's one thing to stand before the company. What do you think of standing before Jehovah? Mighty. What happened? And the children of Israel shall lay their hands upon the Levites. Verse 11. And Aaron shall offer the Levites before the Lord for an offering of the children of Israel, that they may do the service of the Lord. I think that's tremendous, really. These are tremendous verses, aren't they? And I want you just to realize that now they're being presented as an offering. They shall, and Aaron shall offer. And the word offer here is what? Shall wave, or shall present them, right? And just as though they were a sacrifice on the altar, here they're before the Lord as a wave offering. That's the word. As a wave offering of the children of Israel, that they may execute the service of the Lord. I think that's a tremendous, tremendous responsibility. Now, could I just gather these points together? Here's the meaning of consecration. The need for cleansing, purification. The consciousness of sacrifice, then the witness, and then the identification. Now, while that is very practical, it is also very precious. When I read 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, I'm thinking of a young man called Timothy, who was brought into the service of God, as we know in Acts 16. And Paul is writing to him, and as it is in verse 9 here, what does it say? And thou shalt bring the Levites before the tent of meeting. See, that's the place. That is the place before the tabernacle of the congregation, whichever way you wish to translate it. You remember when Paul was writing to Timothy, what does he say? That thou mightest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is church of the living God, pillar and ground of the truth. There's Paul doing exactly with Timothy what God advises them to do with these Levites. Brought them right into the place where God had put his name. And so Paul's making clear to Timothy the need for behavior. Because you're going to serve. And because you're going to serve, Timothy, you need to get a concept of House of God, Church of Living God, pillar and ground of the truth. The only noun in the verse with the definite article. And so, beloved, I hope I've reached that. Have you? Well, it's not the building, you know. It's the people. And it's not really the people in the final analysis. It's the presence of the Lord amongst his people. And if I'm functioning for God in this assembly, and you're functioning for God in the assembly with which you're associated, you need to be conscious of the place. The people that we're to represent. Paul reminds Timothy of this in chapter 4 of 1 Timothy and verse 14. The person they were to revere. Oh my, those are mighty words. They see they were before the Lord. And I'm going to just read it to you. Turn please with me to chapter 5, will you? Of Timothy, 1 Timothy. Chapter 5. I think it's very precious just to see the parallel. And although it could be quoted, I'd like you to turn with me so you know to recognize it. Verse 23 of chapter 5. I charge thee in the sight of God and Christ Jesus and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Before God. Look at chapter 6, verse number 13. I charge thee, I give thee charge, in what? In the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and of Christ Jesus. To think, beloved, that as you sit in this meeting tonight, associated with the assembly of God, here you are, twice I charge. Or I charge. And that's exactly what this man Aaron was to do with the Levites. Remind them that the eye of God's upon them every moment of every day. I charge thee in the sight of God. The provision of where to receive, I like that. And the priests, they were to recognize. And the principle, they were to regard. Now, when you get my notes, you'll have the comparative passage for to read. In 1 and 2 Timothy. And so I trust you'll get the principle that's fulfilled in these words before us. Verse 13, and thou shalt set the Levites before Aaron and before his sons, and offer them for a way of offering unto the Lord. And so that's the priests recognizing them. Verse 14, thus shalt thou separate the Levites from among the children of Israel, and the Levites shall be mine. Now verse 15. I'm going to call this the ministry of consecration. From verse number 15 to verse number 19. Correct? Now, notice these words. Verse 15. I want you to notice their commitment to the service. And after that shall the Levites go in to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now, I'm going to ask you a very simple question. Are you in fellowship in this assembly? Are you in fellowship in the assembly with which you're associated? Oh, yes, I am. Are you functioning in this way? To do the service? To do the service? Are you functioning for God? Are you operating according to the Spirit of God? And I'm sure, beloved, as we respond to that pertinent question I'm offering you, we can truthfully say yes, if that is so. But if not, I think it's time we read these verses to see that their commitment to their service is what? Is vital. Now verse 16. For they are wholly given unto me from among the children of Israel, instead of all that openeth the womb, even the firstborn of all the children of Israel, have I taken them unto me. And verse 16 and 17, to me was a tremendous shock when I read it. Why? Well, I remember, and you remember, Exodus 12. Why, what was Exodus 12 in function for? The firstborn. The firstborn. And now, when we think of that tremendous work of Exodus 12, to think that all that was symbolized in that action by God are replaced by these Levites. In other words, God is looking upon them, the Levites, in their responsible service with the character of firstborn character upon them. Do you understand that? I do. What a privilege. What an honor. And you think of what God did in Exodus 12. You think of all that eventuated, and we know it well, don't we? But now they're going to be replaced. And they're going to be replaced by these Levites who are given this tremendous honor of occupying a firstborn position in their service and in their character for God. What about me? What about you? Our Lord Jesus Christ is the firstborn among many brethren. You take up the terms in the New Testament that speak of the Lord Jesus in this capacity. You think of what he has brought us into by divine grace. What an honor. What an honor for these Levites to be given a firstborn characteristic. Precious. Pertinent for God through redemption. Oh, beloved, that's why, if you don't mind me saying, I keep at it all the time. I'm not a holiday man, if you know what I mean. I like to go on meeting after meeting, place after place, time after time. And some people say, Bentley, you should this and that. No. I just want to feel, beloved, with the privilege God has given, and he's given you the same privilege. He brought you and I into the same position. He's elevated us into this tremendous revelation of relationship. How are we going to serve him? Just when I like? No. When it suits, won't do. Constant. Constant. Verse 18. And I have taken the Levites instead of all the firstborn, the choice of their standing. Verse number 19. And I have given the Levites as a gift to Aaron and to his sons who are among the children of Israel to do the service of the children of Israel in the tabernacle of the congregation, and to make an atonement for the children of Israel, that there be no plague among the children of Israel, and when the children of Israel come nigh unto the sanctuary. This is a tremendous thing, the consequence of their service, that there be no plague. That there be no plague. Now, what does that mean? I'm looking at you and you're looking at me, brethren. I'm asking my soul, listen, is my behavior in divine service in this assembly of such a nature, there's nothing will come in through that door that would mar the testimony of God's people. Have you reached that? It's not a matter you can do what you like. Not a matter where you can go where you wish. Here are divine principles outlined. And here is God telling us that there be no plague. And often there are plagues in assemblies, aren't there? Often there are things that ought not to be there. What's the reason? Someone, somewhere, has been unfaithful. So here is God telling them that there be no plague, the consequence of their service. Now, verse 20, please. The measure of consecration. And Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel did to the Levites according to all that the Lord commanded Moses concerning the Levites, so did the children of Israel unto them. They conformed to the commandment of God. And so, beloved, here is a response. The whole congregation of the children of Israel did according unto all that the Lord commanded Moses concerning the Levites, so did the children of Israel unto them. They're conforming wholeheartedly, absolutely, to the word of the Lord. Verse 21 says, and the Levites were purified, and they washed their clothes, and Aaron offered them as an offering before the Lord, and Aaron made atonement for them to cleanse them. Here's the implementing of the will of God. The implementing of the will. They were conforming to the word of God. Now they're implementing the will of the Lord. Verse 22. And after that went the Levites in to do their service in the tent of meeting, or the tabernacle of the congregation, before Aaron and his sons. Here they are entering into the work of the Lord, conforming to the word, implementing the will, and now entering the work. One day it must have been. What an opportunity, what a privilege, what an honor for those respective families of the Levites and the representatives to be brought into the very presence of God to do their service in the tabernacle of the congregation. Now, beloved, that's your privilege, isn't it? You serve in this assembly. You serve representing it. No matter where you go. One time, we had a difficulty, and was with a particular brother in Malaysia, and he said that he wanted to go to a certain place. But he said, I'm not going to be representing the assembly. I'll just be as I am, as a person. Now, when he said it, I said, brother, when you go to where you want to go, what will the people say to themselves? Well, there's brother so-and-so from such and such a place. Now, whether you may be going representing the assembly or not, you say you're not. Well, all right. But what do the people think? They know where you are. They know where you serve. So when you come into this place and into these circumstances, they say, well, that's brother so-and-so from, won't they? I'm not saying they'll say it out. They'll say it to themselves. They'll not say that you're brother so-and-so from 21 Mountview Street, Belfast. No. They'll not quote your address. They'll quote your association with God's people. And that's the point here, isn't it? And so here are the privileged Levites coming into the place where the presence of God has been felt and the work of God has been established, and here they are representing what God has made them. Can't leave it aside. Neither can you, neither can I. And listen, it would preserve us from a tremendous amount of difficulty if everyone in assembly fellowship could obey that principle. Wouldn't you think so? I would. Now, verse 23. I call this the message of consecration because it's lovely to go back to chapter 3 and notice the potential that God saw in these people. Because in chapter 3 of Numbers, they are numbered from a month old. A month old. Well now, a Levite at 1 month couldn't do much service for God, could he? No. Ah, but he was numbered. He was numbered. And there comes a time, beloved, when you're reached by sovereign grace, and you begin to grow, and you begin to develop, originally your number, but thank God the moment comes when you can adequately serve God in the capacity He would offer. But here is God's willingness to recognize the message of consecration is this, the service of the Levites, they were recognized a month old. But when it came to their actual probation, they had 25 years. 25 years probation. Well, I don't know about you, but I felt at one stage in my life that I was called and ready for the work of God. Now, I felt it very keenly and very responsibly. But you know, as I reflect on the way God dealt with me, I discover now that I probably was not just as much as I thought I was. See? And in those years of waiting, I can thank God for what I learned. I can thank God for what I proved. I can thank God for what I experienced, never knowing that Mr. Kundig told me a few days before I left, Tom, you'll not be a year in the work until you realize your time of probation was too short. Mind you, I realized that. And while it was difficult for me to face it in those earlier days, I can look back with confidence now as I see the hand of God. I proved the wealth of Mr. Kundig's remarks. When I eventually reached the work of God in full-time service in Malaya, I realized, Lord, the time of probation was really, as Mr. Kundig told me, too short. That's what's here. What's next? Well, at 30 years of age, they came into divine service. That's chapter 4. Chapter 4. And when you go home tonight, get chapter 4 before you and see the responsibility God gave the three groups of the families of Levites. See what He did. See how He did it. And see the provision He made for them. How He would have those men carry the weight of divine elements. They would feel the very weight on their very shoulder. As they moved through the wilderness, they had to carry. And then there were those that had so much to attend to, God provided them with wagons. And it's just an amazing chapter, isn't it? Chapter 4. To see the fullness of divine provision in relation to the service they were to perform for God. And of course, in chapter 8, they were allowed to serve until 50 years of age was reached. Now, as I close, I'm going to suggest something to you. There are three great Levites in your Bible. Children of the sons of Levi. And nothing will give you greater joy than to read Psalm 88, Psalm 89, Psalm 50, and Psalm 73 to 83. The first one I mentioned is Heman. He was a Levite. He wrote Psalm 88, which he writes the severity of discipline. The next Levite is Ethan. Psalm 89 he wrote on the source of discipline. But Asaph wrote Psalm 50 and then 73 to 83, 12 Psalms. Mighty. Mighty. And I think it's wonderful just to examine not only the ministry of the Levites in relation to the testimony of the tabernacle, but to think of the ministry of these three great Levites in relation to the ministry of divine truth. So take time, won't you, and read those Psalms and see the value of their contribution. Now, especially in relation to Asaph, you see, I divide, as you know, as can be done, the Psalms into five. And you will notice that Psalm 50 is in the second session, which of course favors the book of Exodus. Right? And Psalm 50 is suited to that. But when we come to Psalm 73 to 83, I hope you know what session that is, and you find that those Psalms are absolutely mighty in relation to the subject of discipline written by the Levite Asaph. Now I trust God will bless his word. Thank you for your reverent attention. And now we ask the Lord's blessing.